The image of Christ the King is relatively new in one sense in scriptural history and in our own history. The image for the first 300 years of Jesus as the Son of God and as the Saviour and as the founder of Christianity, the image for that first 300 years was really nearly always a shepherd with sheep, of course. Now, the image of Christ as a king, that came 300 years later. In 313 AD, the Emperor of Rome, and therefore the Roman Empire, Emperor Constantine, he declared that Christianity was to be the religion of the Roman Empire and that all other religions were to be banned. 313. Constantine himself never had himself baptised until 337, just before he died. The custom in those days was that one went to confession and had their baptism as late as possible, so that there was less chance of sinning between the time that you were baptised, made your confession, and then died. Getting a little bit pedantic, but that's the way he looked at it. So he kind of held off until the last minute. But anyway, in 313, Christianity became the religion of the empire. Now that was, it brought with it some positive things and it brought with it some negative things. I'm giving you this little bit of background because the language of kingship doesn't really work for modern day Australians. So the shepherd image worked very powerfully. So with 313 and now the emperor declaring Christianity the religion, the positives in that were that all of the persecutions that were taking place, the previous emperors to Constantine harassed and harangued the Christians. Even Nero blamed the burning of Rome on the Christians. And so all of those persecutions, they ceased. And it meant that the church was now founded or being founded on the blood of the martyrs, those that died for their faith. A very powerful statement. So there was, in a sense, a period of peace, but there was this grandeur that came forward as well because people gave their life for the faith. And it made a huge, huge impact. The downside of making Christianity the religion of the Roman Empire was the Roman Empire itself. So it was at this time that the bishops started to wear the colours of the Roman Senate. Purple is the colour of the senators. So the bishops started to wear purple. The places of worship began to take on the architectural design of Roman basilicas. Now, Roman basilicas are actually the law courts. So a courthouse, that's what a basilica is. Not only that, then the church started to become powerful. And with power, it gained money, and it made a very big impact, sometimes negative, sometimes positive. So I see that as a downside, simply because when we compare it with the birth of the church based on the blood of the martyrs and the peace that came in, we now had a new force coming in, which was in the institution of a Roman model church. It was at that time, 337, when Constantine, and just flowing after that, that the image of Christ the King became more paramount. It was the first time the language was used. It was at that time that in art and in architecture, you could see images of Christ with a crown on. It was at that time that you saw images of Mary, the mother of our Lord. Yes, Mary, hello. There's a Mary in the front seat down there. It was at that time that you saw the image of Mary wearing a crown after the 313 institution by Constantine. So the language and the imagery of the church were starting to shift, and it was there that Christ the King, the universal King the King of the universe, became more paramount. And so today we celebrate the feast in a different way, but that's where the heritage and the language comes from for people that are not that used to kingly language. In the scriptures, Jesus then tells the story or makes the image of the sheep and the goats. Now, we get it with if Christ was seen as the shepherd and therefore the sheep, but the goats is a little more confusing for us. So once again, it comes back to the positive and the negative. Sheep were always seen as the positive. What they produced was wool, which was soft and it was warm. The lambs and sheep were used in part of the liturgy, the sacrifices. So they were very much associated with God. In the scripture, you'll talk about the rams. Now, rams are very protective, as a rule, of their ewes. And therefore, they were seen as good and powerful. It was also a sense of cleanliness. And I say that because we compare it with goats. What happened to the poor old goats? They were put on the left-hand side. Well, goats, what they produce from their goat's wool, I guess it is rough. It's usually used, the goat's wool is usually used for carpets and things on the floor, not for that which is next to the body normally. It's much rougher. Goats were also seen as lascivious animals. That's a big word. You can explain it to the kids later. Now, why I say that is because a ram protected its ewes. The he-goats let anybody go to their ewes. He didn't really care. And so they were always seen as something in the negative. And I'm not to upset anybody here, but sheep were always seen in scripture in the masculine and the goats were seen in the feminine. But I don't want to harp on that. So it's just that when he uses the images of the sheep on my right hand and the goats on the left, these are the ones that are called to God in the imagery of the shepherd, and these are the ones that are not called to God. And then he goes into what the church calls the corporal works of mercy, the bodily works of mercy. And all he's saying is that those that live their life by exercising the bodily works of mercy, the corporal works of mercy, they are the ones that are going to be treated like the sheep that come close to God, the shepherd. The ones that did not do those things in their life, they will be treated like the goats and they will be cast aside. Now, I know that sounds a little harsh, but in the last weekend of the church, this is the time of the year when we reflect on how have we gone this year. It is all the readings in the liturgy all based on almost like an examination of conscience. How have I behaved this year? Have I behaved like a goat or like a sheep? My corporal or my bodily works of mercy, how have I exercised mercy this year? And that's what we've all got to ask ourselves. And we go through those things that Jesus mentions explicitly. And the church has always kept them. There are six, and then it's added one more. So the six that it put in there straight from this scripture today is, have I ever fed the hungry? This week, have I done anything to feed the hungry? Have I done anything to bring to quench the thirst of those who are thirsty? These are really practical things. These are not up in the air. These are things that are grounded with the body on earth. Have I fed the hungry? Have I done anything to bring to quench the thirst of those who are thirsty? Those who have nothing, no clothes, have I done anything to clothe the naked? Have I visited the prisoner or the sick? Now, visiting prisoners is a hard one to do because you have to go through an institution, especially in Canberra. It's a very difficult thing to do, isn't it, Karen? It sure is. But cast your mind a little further than just a jail. The people in Gaza are prisoners, have been for nearly 70 years. Have I, in this whole debacle and horror that's happening there, have I done anything practically to support the prisoners there, for example? Now, the best that some of us can do is simply our prayer. And that's why you've got those cards all over the seats. Because we're so far away, but we cannot be disengaged. Even to make sure that we remove any ignorance from what's happening over there, that is offering some support from a distance to the prisoner. Have I visited the sick this week? We all know people who are unwell. Have I done anything about it? Or have I just said, I heard blah, blah, I was sick, and done nothing about it? Once again, these are really practical things that we can do. They are the six. The six. The hungry, the thirsty, the naked, the lonely. He talks about the stranger. So we talk about the homeless, welcoming the stranger. We talk about visiting the sick and those in prison. And the seventh one that the church has added is to bury the dead. Now, when we come to bury the dead, it means that, have I done anything to support those who are mourning? What have I done to bring comfort and compassion into my community that might be mourning, or to individuals? So it's going beyond just saying, there's somebody that doesn't have any clothes, that's sad, and moving on. It is an opportunity to physically do something. And can I just give you two ways of looking at this? And one, I think, is much more powerful than the other, and they both come from Scripture. When you see the hungry, the thirsty, the naked, the lonely, the homeless, when you see the prisoner or the sick and those that are dying or those that are dead, when you see them, many people see Jesus in that person. Now, that's not a bad thing. But what do we do with it? When we see Jesus in that person, what happens to us? Does anything happen? I suggest to you the second way of looking at people in these situations is, do not see so much Jesus in the person who is suffering, but look at that person through the eyes of Jesus and the heart of Jesus. Jesus and suffering go hand in hand. But when you see the disadvantaged, the oppressed, the poor, the suffering, when you see them through the eyes of Jesus and the heart of Jesus, your relationship is very, very different. Jesus focused his entire life on the oppressed, the outcast, the poor, the suffering. His entire life, to the point that it cost him his death. That's how focused he was. If we just see Jesus in that person, which is not, as I say, a bad thing, there is still a distance. When I see that person through the eyes of Jesus, that means I've become a disciple. I am now active. I'm doing something about this. I'm not just looking, I am doing and being. That's the difference. We become disciples when we use the eyesight and the heart of Jesus. We can physically identify with this individual. It's a real challenge, especially if you've never been hungry, you've never been thirsty, you've never been lonely, you've never been homeless, you've never been sick, you've never been in prison, and you've never felt you're near death. If you've never had any of those things in your life, it's hard to identify. But through the eyes of Jesus and through the heart of Jesus, in you, you're all baptized, in you, that clarity of vision and that beating of heart, that should all be active. Please, as we assess ourselves this year and review our year and how we've gone, even review our week, at the end of the day, say to yourself, have I done anything to improve the life of any of these people? Anything at all? One small thing? Or have I just become aware of it because I've seen it but done nothing with it? Don't let yourselves be goats. I challenge you and I challenge myself to make sure that we're on the right hand when the seat of judgment is before us. I don't want to be on the left hand.